vibes.
Ben, we're stumbling into couples therapy here.
I think so.
We're going to keep going.
I was just going to say, why is the last 2 weeks the hardest? Let's roll into this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do start barking a little bit more.
You kinda get annoying.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Here we go, man.
Ben, you want to sit in between?
Here it comes.
I'm actually going to move my chair away from him.
Thanks, everybody, for swinging back to the Pohata Podcast, where we talk about jiu-jitsu with jiu-jitsu people, very often black belts. As usual, check out the podcast socials at the Pohata Podcast and at Pohata Photography. In the bio there, you'll find links to the merch page and the Patreon account and all that good stuff. This time around, I was again at the Cellar Fight Gym in Roseville, Minnesota. We also call that St. Paul, and with the help, once again, of Coach Ben Locken, I was able to harness the energy of Jess and CJ Hayes to talk about their recent fights, mainly losing those fights, which I find to be a much more interesting topic. Before we jump in, the show is brought to you by way of the Tiger Soap Company, made by a local guy here who does jiu-jitsu himself. You may not be good at jiu-jitsu, but you can at least smell good while you do it. And also by the Hamel Jiu-Jitsu Club in Hamel, Minnesota, where everyone is welcome to be choked. And without further ado, my conversation with CJ, Jess, and Ben. Tell me about losing a fight.
Damn, that's what we're getting into first. Okay.
Right away.
We just ripped the Band-Aid off. Losing fucking sucks.
I've never lost a fight.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a fight?
Shut up.
My bad.
I don't know, since it's fresh. Yeah, it's not fun, but all of my years of competition, wrestling, over 16 years of wrestling, I've had hundreds of matches, which means I've lost probably well over 100 times. You've got to be able to win and lose with grace. But yeah, losing fucking sucks.
Well, that was my first loss. And, you know, I feel like other people want me to
ever?
Feel. Yeah. Well, for fighting, I've lost jiu-jitsu matches. That was my first loss fighting. But I feel it's weird because I don't feel bad about it in some ways. Like, yeah, losing sucks. Like, you know, you don't get your arm raised and you're kind of like, damn, you know, like, you know, it's a bummer, but it's weird. Like, I feel like leading up to that fight, other people had all these expectations for how I should feel. And we're like putting pressure on, they felt that I should feel all this pressure, right? So like, I'm not naming names because I'm going to be professional, but I had someone ask me, yeah, you're undefeated. You're 8-0. Are you feeling any pressure? Like, and I was like, no, like I don't, you know, because I fight because I like fighting. I'm not just, you know, I always fight to win, but I'm not fighting just to win. I'm fighting because I like fighting. So, you know, every time I fight, I've already like made peace with like every possible outcome. That's actually part of my process. Like I'll have all these things going through my head. It's like, you know, I think about the possibility like I'm going to win or I'm going to lose or I'm going to knock somebody out or I'm going to get knocked out or something weird could happen. I might fall and break my leg going up the steps. Like I've already made my peace with every outcome. So, for me, like this loss, like I feel good about the fight and I'm very much at peace with the loss because now I feel like, you know, that fight was a big step up for me. And I feel like I know how I want to fight, how I want to train, what I want to work on going forward. So it's losing, but it's learning. And I know that's cheesy, like you win or you learn, but like that is how I feel.
It's true though.
What an incredibly healthy psyche you have.
Well, thank you. I've worked very hard on that.
It's like almost Matt. Uncomfortable to be around. She's like, oh, you know, life. No, well, but no, legitimately no pressure behind 8-0. Like you're not building this delusional view of this grandiose legacy you had in front of you.
No, not at all. And it's like, you know, if everybody else has this expectation or like this pressure, they can carry that themselves. I'm not going to carry that. You know, I'm fighting because I like fighting. You know, I never even thought that, like when I came into training, I didn't know if I could fight or like if I did fight, I didn't know if I was going to, you know, get my butt kicked or, you know, get embarrassed or whatever. Like, you know, it can happen. It happens all the time, right? But like my first fight, I was in there, like I had no idea if I was winning or not, right? And I was just like, this is awesome. Like, this is the shit. Like, I'm just in there like punching him. I'm like, I like this, you know? And that's why I keep fighting. And it's like, I don't fight for a record. Like, I don't want to say like I don't care, because obviously like my coach is right here. So I'm not going to say like I don't care about winning or losing, but like I just fight because I like fighting, you know? So
winning happens to be fun.
Winning, when you do it, winning is cool. A nice perk. Sure. It's like, I love winning. Winning is great. Like I love winning, but you know, I'm not fighting just to win. I just like the fighting part. So no, I don't feel the pressure, and I'm not carrying other people's expectations. Like, I am completely free of that. I'm just going to go fight as good as I can.
What would you like about losing? Anything? It's a different experience than the previous 8 fights. What was different, maybe, is a better question.
What did I like about losing?
Sure.
It felt cool to fight, like, to do, like, have that kind of step up. That felt really cool because, like, you know, Ashley, who I fought, like, who I actually knew before I fought, like, you know, we were cool, friendly, like, we've seen each other at TBA a lot. Like, she's been fighting since 2015. I'm not even sure if I was training in 2015. Mm-hmm. I had my first fight just over 2 years ago. My first fight was December 2021. I think I haven't been fighting that long. And, like, to have that kind of step up opportunity felt so cool to me. And, like, I was bummed not... Like, you know, I was bummed to lose, but like, I was just like, wow, right? Like, right. To get that type of, you know, step up opportunity was like great. Like, it felt cool. Even losing felt kind of cool because I went 5 rounds with someone that experienced who's been fighting for that long, someone who just came back from like training in Thailand, you know, like that was pretty cool. Okay. Like, I was just like, this is the shit, right?
Yeah.
You know?
It is like losing to the person who wins the tournament. You're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Lost, and it's to the top dog.
Yeah. And it, you know, like, I feel like maybe this isn't the right way to put it, but I feel like if I'm going to lose, at least it's someone worth losing to.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure everybody fully understands what you're saying.
The question of how a loss feels is very circumstantial based on the opponent in the scenario and in the manner that you lose. So what the mindset going in and whatever, I mean, that's all good and great and grand, but in Jess's situation, she fought up a level, was at peace with like fighting somebody with more experience and yada, yada, yada. So that's why I think she's answering the way that she is. CJ was fighting somebody with a little less fighting experience. He's got the wrestling, he's got the overhand, circled the wrong way with his left hand down, he got caught. Like, the manner you lose and how you lose in the situation, the circumstance, is way different. I guarantee if CJ would have fought, I don't know, somebody in the UFC, name somebody.
Oh, God.
In the UFC?
If he would have lost to Cosmont or Shamaya or however you say his name. Different circumstances.
Yeah. Just kind of happy to be
that there. Level up. Like, he could be happy going in there, lasting around him, like, yeah, dude, I lasted a whole round against this dude, and he was blah, 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 blah. So I definitely think the wave of emotions after a loss, I think at the end of the day, the consistent thing is, yeah, losing sucks, but you learn from it. But as far as coping and how long it takes to get over and what you learn from it and take from every loss is very circumstantial from fight to fight, for my 2 cents.
Yeah.
From my perspective.
I guess kind of to expand on what I was more referring with how I feel after a loss is, you know, I felt everything was going really well in there. I was sticking him with my jab, cracking his legs, everything that was part of our game plan. But with 4-ounce gloves, it's just one little mistake. For me, unfortunately, on paper, that's 4 in a row and got injured at TBAs. Took the 24-hour notice Muay Thai fight, which technically that was more for gangster status anyway. But it's still a loss on paper. Then my loss in LFA, then this loss, when everything was going really well this time. We had a great camp, great cut. Everything felt great going into the fight. nerves were normal, you know. I'm always a nervous wreck, whether it's just, you know, getting ready for a jiu-jitsu match or for a fight. I'm kind of anxious. Mm-hmm. That's kind of part of my charm, I guess.
You should be nervous, though.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I think that it's four in a row is why I'm a bit different with it. I almost fucking quit after that one, like, backstage. I was pretty close to retiring. But Ben and Pam and Jess and my best friend Josh all were like, you need to take some time and think about this, you know, because right now you feel that way, you know, and, you know, you hear shit that people are saying, even my own fucking dad's friends saying stuff in the crowd, you know, everybody wants to have an opinion. You know, like after the fight, sitting there like, well, I don't think you were mad enough. I'm like, yeah, that was certainly it. Wasn't mad enough. That was why I lost that fight.
You forgot to see red.
And then he's like, well, I think you could have kept going. I'm like, well, geez, why didn't I think of that? You know?
Cheeto like, dust on his fingers.
I only got my eyes split open and TKO'd. But like, clearly, you know, why didn't I just fucking think about just keep going, bro?
Just stand up.
Yeah. But no, I think that that's why I have a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But also, I think now that we've reassessed some of our goals, we've reassessed what we're going to probably do next, I have a good sense of what I'm going to do next. And I have a bit more confidence. And I, like, obviously I care win or lose, but there's like this part of me right now that just doesn't give a fuck. I have one fuck left to give and I'm not going to give it. And I think that makes me pretty dangerous going forward, is because when I have nothing to lose, what the fuck do I have to lose at this point? You know, when I have nothing to lose, that's usually where I'm most dangerous. So I'm pretty excited to see what happens next.
Because what the fuck, what's the difference between
four and five
four
losses?
Four in a row and five
other than
in a row.
The emotional turmoil. Yeah.
But in the most practical sense, like, okay, four in a row, five in a row, whatever.
But see, like, but there's like a give and a take with that, because I've been a high level competitor for a long time in my life, NCAA wrestler. You know, I've been on the Minnesota national team all through high school and stuff, competed at national and international level tournaments, and then coming into fighting, most of my fights are for the LFA, which is a pretty big organization. Even as an amateur, it's pretty big exposure being part of LFA. So considering myself a high-level competitor and then taking four L's in a row doesn't really sit well with me. So I don't think we're going to see a fifth in a row.
Good. You guys still compete in other stuff, or is it just the mixed game or whatever at this point?
You got a grappling industries coming up for you.
May 11th, I'll be doing grappling industries. Gonna go beat up some big boys. Haven't decided what weight I want to go yet, coach, because it's the same guys in the current weight that I would compete at. It's the same guys that I armbarred in 30 seconds, like all in a row. So I'm like, maybe go up. Go do it again or go up. So
tackle a new puzzle.
Yeah. Or maybe pull guard and see what happens. I hate pulling guard, but maybe
throw everybody off.
Bro, it would just imagine me pulling guard and butt scooting.
Are tournaments like that a strategic move for somebody training for an MMA fight and career? Do you throw those in, or is it just going to have fun?
I like the competition.
A little bit of both.
I like the mat time.
It's competition mat time. It's working a different skill set. Working another opportunity to work like mentality and approach. And if you do lose a match, on how to deal with a match. In my opinion, doing fighting or whatever, like, take this with a grain of salt, jiu-jitsu guys, but losing a jiu-jitsu match to me is not as big a deal as a fight. So it's like, oh, okay, he beat me, I got tapped out, whatever. But I'm not getting punched and cut and...
No salt required.
Yeah.
No.
Well...
Completely different.
Some people might.
Some people.
That's fine.
Never know.
That's fine. Watch me play half guard as a strictly jiu-jitsu person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just get punched 37 times if somebody had the option.
Well, and that's the thing, too. So, like, if you're a top half, bottom half guy, and it's like, all right, let's go test mount now in competition, or let's test your guard in competition, or I want you to try to take somebody's back in competition. You can do it in the training room. Sure, looks good. Practice it, but then trying to put it into competition, it's a whole nother ball game.
Well, and being able to do it sans strikes, so you can focus on and pressure test that piece of it is good.
What?
Yeah.
Being able. What did you sans strikes?
Sans strikes without sans. Strikes. You're okay. Pressure testing pieces
okay,
of
that's
your
grappling. That took me a minute.
Sorry,
yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, what? Sans.
You weren't
sans
alone there.
Strikes? Sand, oh. Sandy strikes. Yeah. You're yeah. pressure. So you're yeah. pressure testing pieces.
So then you
of
can
the
just
game.
Focus on that.
Yeah.
Like skill level or same thing. If somebody needs, if you got a high level wrestler and grappler and jiu-jitsu guy, like, hey, let's go take a Muay Thai fight. Let's fill that hole in a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about the takedown. We can work range and kicks and knees and whatever without worried about getting taken down.
Watch me pull guard at this whole tournament and go like 0-3. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Working on my butt scoot, coach.
Yeah. Dave would be pissed. But yeah, no, I like mixing them in. It's just fun, you know, mixing in these tournaments. And, you know, I think my next fight won't even be MMA. I kind of want to fight Muay Thai again next, you know. I want to wear the cape again and do the fun stuff, like, you know, wear the flowers and the Moncal and everything like that. I don't know, it's kind of fun.
Good psychologically, too. If you've been 9 months without some kind of attempted murder, it's probably, do you get a little soft mentally, I mean?
No. I don't know about soft mentally, but, like, ring rust is a thing.
Ring rust, I think, you know.
The fuck is ring rust? Just, what like, does that mean?
I know a lot about
I mean, I can glean,
I guess.
It's like when you... You know, when you've been competing and then you go too long without competing and mm-hmm. then you get back in the ring and you're just like, oh, fuck, what's fighting? You know,
yeah.
It's mm-hmm. the rhythm of fighting, like the presence, the mentality of fighting. Like I think you do lose that
right.
over time. You right. got to get it back.
Yeah, I haven't effectively spoken Spanish since I took it in 9th grade, so I'm not good at Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Yeah. Skills degrade. Huh?
Use yeah. it or lose it.
Yeah, for sure. In I mean, you can sit there and hit a bag or hit pads all day, but like if you're not drilling, you're not sparring, you're not getting in the ring at least for a smoker and kind of feeling that pace mm-hmm. again, you're going to have some rust, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. When is the next stuff?
May 11th for you, CJ.
May 11th for,
sure.
for me.
Not sure about for me. Summer sometime.
Yeah.
TBA or that Ignite
TBA time card. Round, yeah, or time frame.
June-ish.
Mm-hmm. I'll be cornering a bit more next month, which would be fun doing that side of it, you know, because I'm trying to submerge myself in all bits of it. I've refereed, I've judged, I've cornered before, but now like full-on tape in the hands, being the cut man, being the voice for them and stuff, and that's been pretty cool, actually. So I'm excited to go out there, and I'm excited to be trusted with that among so many fighters, especially these younger guys that are up and coming. It should be fun.
Is that the kind of thing that actually is beneficial to you as a fighter, playing that side of it?
Absolutely. It gives me some eyes, you know, better eyes, like as a coach, to see different things and kind of see different things for other people, but also practice what you preach kind of deal, you know, like me telling somebody keep their damn hands up is pretty funny when I fight like a hip shooter. You know, it's good because it holds me accountable as well. But also it's just fun because, you know, we're not fighting's finite, you know, I'm not going to be doing this forever, but I always want to be part of it. And this is cool to know that I'm trusted to do this and I can go on to that next step as well. Whenever my body finally does say, fuck you, we need steroids or we need to be done, which hey you know.
Plus I think it gives you a different perspective, different lens, like the coaching lens, and then when you go back to the fighting lens, you understand it's a little bit the fog goes away, I think, because I always kind of cornered and fought at the same time, oddly, but which I was always destined to coach. I was a better coach than a fighter, in my opinion. But when you can put both hats on kind of at the same time, when you do get into the fighter role, like, oh, this is why he's saying that. That's why he's like, you understand the process of what the coach in front of you is doing versus just, I'm so tired and I'm looking around. It's like, oh no, I need to look at the coach. I need to take a deep breath and actually understand what he's saying.
It's kind of cool to get it live, the feedback of the other side of it live, because I've always said if I knew what I knew after coaching shot putters, I'd have been a better shot putter,
yep,
et cetera, mm-hmm, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But it's like 15 years too late.
Well, exactly. You know? Like if I knew what I knew now, back when I first started, right, at 19, I would be a way, maybe I would have been a better fighter than a coach, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still a pretty fucking good fighter.
in the gym right now, I haven't fought in a while. So
like the thing with Ben, just kind of going down a different little side path here when it comes to
anything,
training, sparring Ben, going against him in wrestling and stuff, because like on paper, I should be able to tech fall Ben in a wrestling match. Like I should be able to murk him, and he's just so fucking aware and so like never out of position. I can't fucking, you know how much I have to work to take that guy down? Like, it's so annoying because, like, I know the caliber of wrestler I am, and, like, the wrestler ego is just like, how the fuck can't you get this guy? You're a D2. You know? But he's just never out of position, and that's why I get what you're saying with, like, the whole coach's perspective, because now I bet that's helped with your positioning.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating. I think if you fought right now, you'd kill somebody, but
they're trying to pressure me to fight again.
Yeah.
I'm poking
them.
The whole team's been on me for,
you fight again. When are you going to fight again? You're not too old.
You know, low key, half of the reason is because we want to shark tank you and beat up while you're tired. Yeah.
But payback.
He'll be the first bait to like win his shark tank though.
Just, he's winning
years
practice.
Of payback.
So, we think it would be that way, but I think we just get our shit kicked in a little bit for the first two rounds at least. No.
So when is it?
TBD.
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 Not
I never like officially retired or anything like that. I just went down a different avenue, and mm-hmm, it's been an awesome one. Right. And there's a lot going on. Similar version two is like when you fight, you got to be selfish. It's hard to be selfish when I got 50 competitors that I'm trying to build up and learn and grow and get their skills in and get them on their goals and help them get their why. Like if an opportunity comes up where I can make it work, then maybe I do it. But
it's not like you own a gym and have 9 kids and have 50 competitors to look over or whatever.
Yeah. Like a Brady Bunch.
There's also that.
There is that too.
Yeah.
And currently like Katie, my wife, she's fighting right now. She just, you know, after having 3 kids and a major surgery, and she started fighting, I think last year was her first fight back in like 5 years, 5.5 years was TBA, I think. And then she did nationals, and then I think she had one more. And then she got to go to Portugal.
For Worlds.
For Worlds. And then she just recently did nationals again. But it's like starting to click for her again. I think the first couple fights when she came back, it was just to prove to herself that she could fight again as a mom of 3 and post-surgery and a gym owner and whatever. But now like
she's seen
the competitor fire is in there. She's like, I'm not like almost kind of like where CJ is not. Like she lost 3 in a row and she's like, I'm not losing again. And she put 2 wins together, and now hopefully I think she's going to do TBA, maybe a fight in April. We'll see. But I can't fight and train properly if she's doing it, and I'm okay. Again, my coach is happy. Like I want her to do what she wants to do in the fighting realm before she decides to be done.
2 people in a household actively training for fights, a pro or a con?
Both.
Yeah.
It depends.
Yeah, I think all 3 of us can agree on that.
You guys have kids or no?
No.
No. No.
Is it dramatically different with that? I would assume.
So we've never fought together on a card with kids. We did it once when we were either engaged or married. I don't know. We didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was good. But again, that's a little bit different scenario because I'm not going to speak for their Jess and CJ, but these 2, we'll call it equals. They're both athletes. when me and Katie were fighting, like when I first met Katie, like I was her coach and then she was my athlete. Long story short, whatever, got married, okay. But there was always like, I was always like, if somebody had to go for a run because they had to, like, okay, you go for your run. I'll make it up somewhere else. I'll get up at 3:30 and go run in the morning if I have to, because I always was more encouraged or apt or wanted to put the coach's hat on, because that's how it was. That's how it was when it started. So it might have been a little bit different than us being totally just two fighters in the same house.
You retained some of that previous role of just
coach. Okay. It's just, it was a natural thing.
Right.
Even now, like if we both want to fight, I don't want to fight because Katie's fighting right now. She's on a roll. Let her fight.
Yeah.
And she's told it me time and time again, when you want to fight, just let me know. And I'm like, okay. I haven't let her know yet. Yeah. But I don't know. So these two might have a different perspective on it.
I think for us, in my opinion, for us, it's actually great until like the very end. It's great until like the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree. It might be different now that I'm going back up a weight class again, because now my cuts will be not as hard. I mean, I'm still going to do a big cut, but me cutting to 185, 10 pounds versus me cutting to 170, 10 pounds that last day is going to be a very different 10 pounds.
I don't know if it's just, it's not just about the cut. It's about the mindset in like the last
couple
weeks, because I get kind of like, I tend to like draw inwards.
Yeah, she's more of a Zen fighter and I'm a bit of a hood rat. So it's a little bit different vibes.
Ben, we're stumbling into couples therapy here.
I think so.
We're going to keep going.
I was just going to say, why is the last 2 weeks the hardest? Let's roll into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do start barking a little bit more.
You kinda get annoying.
Yeah, also, yeah.
Here we go, man.
Ben, you want to sit in between?
Here it comes. I'm actually going to move my chair away from him.
But no, I'm super obnoxious. Again, part of my charm.
Take anybody's carbs and they're not particularly fun to be around.
Well, like in general, my ADHD brain, you can call it, I'm pretty annoying. But yeah, take away those carbs, it gets a little bit worse. And I think her tolerance for my annoyance, when her carbs and stuff are starting to dwindle and we're getting closer to a time that we're supposed to be beating the shit out of somebody else, in front of a bunch of people screaming for either your blood, their blood, or just blood in general. I think those all kind of play a factor in that last 2 weeks being hard. I'm not an easy guy to be with or be around all the time. And I acknowledge that. That's why I'm happy that her and I are opposites, because I think one me is more than enough.
Self-aware.
I annoy myself actually quite often. So
I'm slower and quieter, but I'm the same fucking creature.
Yeah,
for sure.
You start like humming something in your car and then you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're reviewing social interactions and you're like, yeah, no wonder that they think I'm annoying. Good guy.
Yeah, I call that the shower scream, where that's where I think of them. And I'm like, and Jess will just hear me, just like, bah! And then she's like, what was it? And I'm like, nothing.
I think what it comes down to is that in the last like 2 weeks, you get very emotional. Your emotions are very running high and you express them like at the drop of a hat. Like they just come out. And then I'm the opposite. I like run out of emotions at the end. Like I have no feelings. Like I am not angry or sad or happy or anything. I have no feelings and I'm very like quiet. Like I withdraw a little bit. So I think like we just tend to maybe rub each other the wrong way at the end, because he's like explosive, almost. That's not the right word, but you're very like expressive.
Yeah.
Very expressive, very high emotions. And I'm just so like, sometimes I'm just like, stop.
I think that kind of translates into how we fight too. Like, cause she seems pretty zeroed in usually when she's walking out, and I'm usually pretty gorilla faced and like pounding my chest and yelling St. Paul, motherfucker, and like, you know, just all sorts of stuff. So we are definitely very different in that matter. I would definitely fight on the same card again. But again, I think that if I'm cutting a little less weight, I think it'd be a little easier for us to deal.
That wasn't like even a hard cut.
Taking, if you got two starving lions who are about to go hunt, mm-hmm. and they have the pressure of you're either going to eat today or you're not, and then you take those two lions and tell them to live together for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and they're going to nip at each other.
Yeah.
Because again, at the end of this whole camp, it's like you either eat or you don't. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they both didn't eat this time.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Was it the first time you guys were same card?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we've competed together, like TBAs, the first year she won it. I was competing that year too.
It's different though.
Yeah, that's very much different.
I always equate stuff like this to like meathead sports, like lifting stuff. And I'm like, okay, if the both of us were cutting down to a weight class, somewhat of the same experience, it still wouldn't even be close because you're not gearing yourself up mentally for like literal violence.
Yeah.
Whole different.
I think the TBA one was a little different, but it was also interesting because, you know, I don't like losing, and I had to all of a sudden very quickly turn that mirror off myself and just focus on Jess because she won it that year, and I had to switch and not allow myself to like express kind of how shitty I felt about losing, you know, and stuff like that.
The reason I say it's different is because there's that weekend is there's so much going on.
Thousands of
there's competitors. A thousand competitors. Yeah. Who knows how many fights. And like, yeah, it sucks you lose, but then the next day, it's like, it doesn't matter if you lost. We got to get ready, the next 10 guys mm-hmm. ready for tomorrow.
Yep.
And we always bring a huge team. So it's like, even though we had to lose, it sucks. And, you know, they'll sulk and have their day or have their moment. We had another guy 1 year. He lost and his cardio affected him. He should have won, yada, 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 but he just got tired. And he was down a little bit on himself, but then the next day it was like a different person came down to support the team because he's like, yeah, I wasn't going to lie. I wasn't feeling myself or whatever he said. I don't know the lingo. And he's like, but I got to get ready for my team. So like the window of feeling bad for yourself is so much shorter because there's so much other stuff going on.
Yeah. And then after like a single fight, you know, especially with two in the house, I think Derek Brunson's the one that said it. Nobody but competitors understand the feeling after a loss of walking around your house randomly throughout the next week, just kind of going, damn, to yeah. yourself. Like, just random times. Like, I'll be doing dishes and I'll be like, damn. Like, you know, so like, it is a little different, but we've kept the spirits up in the house a bit, you know, and we've gone, you know, got outside, touched some fucking grass and go for a hike, you know. But we're really self-aware of our emotions and stuff like that, and we're pretty good about helping each other regulate. So
I suppose it is a little bit of that like five stages of grief thing.
Yeah,
like
it is. It's especially interesting too,
after a loss, but I would assume even with a win,
well, you go to the
huge come down, right?
Well, yeah, you're at the highest high. Where the hell are you gonna go?
Right.
Down. It's I call it the post fight sads. I'm always sad after a fight, regardless. You know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'd be an interesting experiment if you put two guys and they fought and nobody knew that they fought and one won, one didn't, how you would feel after that versus putting them in a cage in front of 1,000 people. Because it's like winning and losing. You both went out there, did what you did the best you could. You both tried to win, but I think the pressure of the outside world gets to people because they treat you different, possibly. So it's like you win, you lose, and when you lose, you feel like you disappointed your coaches and disappointed your team, and almost after everybody that loses, like, man, sorry, coach, I let you down. Like, that's almost the first thing out of everybody's mouth when they come back, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And like, did you fight the best you could? Did you just get caught? Did you do everything you did? Like, people not here and people not putting in the work, I have a different answer for them, but these two had a great camp. They went out there and they did everything that they could in that moment, in that fight, but they both were still like, sorry guys, I let you down. It's like, you got in there, you fought, and you fought your ass off. You got caught, you lost a decision, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But
did you both say that to him when he lost?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it an externalization of your own feelings, or are you legitimately going, oh my God, he's going to be pissed?
No, I don't think he's going to be pissed.
It's like disappointing dad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not speaking for these two, but I've had a couple like, yeah, man, I'm disappointed. And then these two don't have kids, but like my dad or my mom would be like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. And you're like, oh, no. And it just, it cuts different. So like there's some about disappointing your coach or your dad or your whatever the scenario is that just makes it suck a little bit more.
I think the immediate feeling is like, I'm disappointed in myself. So I got to assume that he's also disappointed, you know, which, so it's a bit of projecting obviously, but, also, you know, it's just, you put in all that time together. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're the one fighting or the one coaching, it's an emotional roller coaster for that whole preparation, peaking at the right time, going out there and trying to put on a fucking show. It's an emotional roller coaster for both. So I think just automatically after a loss, I'm going to apologize just because we both put in just as much together, you know, and you know, and but then I'm the one that has to go out there and fight. Now, mind you, I'm just kind of a Pokemon and he's calling the moves, but but I, maybe if I just fought like that, then maybe I'd win more. But were you going to say something, though? You...
I think I did say sorry, but not in that way, because when I went back there, I was like, I feel like I should feel like apologizing, but like I'm not sorry for how I fought, because I wasn't sorry for how I fought. I did everything I could. Like I felt like I was sorry that I couldn't, you know, bring home the W, right? Because, you know, like your coaches, like my coaches, like Coach Ben, you know, and Coach Lucas and Coach Chris, like they put so much time into like developing their fighters. So it's like, of course you want to win for your coaches because they put all that time and effort into you, right? But I think I said I'm sorry that I couldn't get the win, but I was like not sorry for how I fought. So it was, yeah. I don't know.
Tell me about winning a fight.
It's great.
Positive swing. Yo-yo.
Yeah. Oh man, winning, like it's the best feeling in the world. Especially, you know, you go out there and you put it all on the line, and I think finishing the fight always is like the coolest feeling. Like I've won some decisions where I felt cloud nine. It was like, wow, dude, I earned that, you know, but man, that 13 second knockout was like the coolest feeling in the world. Cause that guy was such a disrespectful prick leading up to that. And then just to like watch him go face down, ass up after like one punch thrown, and then like all my home crowd there, that was like, I don't think anything compares to that, other than like, I guess like getting married and then like the birth of your first child and then like the moment before you die. Like I don't think you get those fucking moments that often, but that was probably one of the coolest, you know. And in wrestling, I had some really cool moments like that as well, even on Fox Sports South, broadcasted live and stuff. And, you know, like winning, just God damn, there's nothing like it, man. That's why it keeps me at the table like a bad fucking gambler when my body does try to keep quitting on me. But man, you come back and you put somebody's lights out and beat on your chest, and you know, they play the music after. It's always such a cool feeling, man. Like
this very Hollywood, the one you described, the 13 dude, seconds. He was mouthy.
What a like prick.
But it's exactly what the movie scene would be.
Yeah, he hasn't fought since either. You know, it's funny how that worked.
You know, funny thing, I think that your answer is probably more intellectual than my answer. Like, I'm a very, like, cerebral person, just, like, day-to-day, like, very intellectual. Like, I think a lot. Very, like, you know, complex reasoning and all that. But I feel like people are, when people ask, like, why do I fight and why do I like fighting, I think they're always surprised by the answer, because really at the core of it, like, you know, you can have all these, you know, high and philosophical reasons, but the reason I like fighting is I like punching somebody else as hard as I can. That's why I like fighting. I just, you know, me and that other person, we've agreed to just go beat the crap out of each other, and I'm going to go beat the crap out of that person, you know, and that's why I like fighting. I don't honestly think there's any like big intellectual or big emotional like comeback story or whatever kind of reason for me. I just want to go punch somebody in the face as hard as I can. So like winning is great because it's like, yeah, I punched that other girl in the face as hard as I can. And like, that's great. You know, and there is more to it. There's a lot more to it than that. There are all those other like higher philosophical, like deep, meaningful, spiritual reasons and all mm-hmm. that. But really the core of it is just like violence, you know? So winning is great because like you put the violence on somebody else better than they put the violence on you.
Winning is great because it's the positive outcome of the why you're fighting. So Jess might have a different reason of why she's fighting. CJ has his why of why he's fighting. The McGregors and whatever have their why of why they're fighting. So when you win, it's like exclamation point. My mm-hmm. why is complete. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you lose, there's no, I'm not a grammar person. Nick will be proud, but there's no punctuation at the end of the camp. There's no, it feels unfinished. It feels.
It's an ellipses.
Yeah. Yeah. Dot, dot, dot. There you go. Yeah. But
yeah,
my two cents.
I would agree with that. Oh shit.
My bad. All right, we good?
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that winning is, you know, obviously everybody's going out there to win, but we do definitely come from different places of our why. Everybody has a different why. But I would say, you know, especially coming from being a wrestler, and like I relate a lot of my mindset to all my years of wrestling because it was such a significant part of my life.
And formative years.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of core memories just came straight out of wrestling. So in wrestling, we call it the poor man's sport. There's no money. There's nothing that you're winning. Like your glory is getting your arm raised and outworking the other guy, and literally, as one of my coaches would say, personally dominate that person. So like winning was the only form of satisfaction in wrestling. It wasn't just go out there to do it, because the culture back then was quite a bit different than now. It was a bit more toxic and abusive back when I was wrestling. Going out there and doing it and doing your best was not enough. Going out there and getting your arm raised was the only thing that was the option. Otherwise, you're a fucking loser. So, you know, shit to unpack with that. But winning was like, that's why winning to me is just like pure ecstasy, because that's where, like, especially now in a fist fight where it's even more personal. I didn't for a long time think it could get more personal than wrestling, but now that I'm getting hit and hitting people and doing everything I can to put that person away, is it's a bit more ecstatic every time you get that dub.
You guys coach other people?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
Is that the future of it?
Fuck
yeah. Once the body disagrees?
Yeah. I mean, when the body disagrees, I'll just fight other old guys. Get on steroids. I don't care. I'll tell them too. Get on steroids. We... whatever weight you want.
I call it TRT now because then it's socially
acceptable. No, I'm
not
doing that.
It's like having the medical card for the weed.
Nah, yeah, not that weak shit. I'm getting on the real stuff, man. DECA, baby.
Diesel.
I want that track star stuff.
Are you as excited about coaching as you would be fighting?
It's different. Yeah. I would say it's different for me.
Oh.
I love coaching. Like I say to these guys, especially my teens, because we have a teen MMA program now.
Which is amazing.
And these kids, man, these kids are going to be a problem. Their whole generation are so good already. And like, I don't do much fundamentals in those. I told Ben, I'm like, I slow it down so they don't get hurt, but I'm basically doing what we do in advanced MMA. Like, yeah, and they're just like, anymore? You know, and they're like looking so nonchalant, losing focus because they're kids, and you just keep them on track, you know. So these kids, though, are, if they stick with it, are going to be a problem. And that's why I tell them, I'm like, you know, I've won a national title. You know, I don't need a world title. That's for you guys. You guys are going to be that. Like I say, in the next 5 to 10 years, when these kids start turning 18, 22, 23, we're going to be like the AKA of the North. So basically we're going to have that gym of killers, but not a bunch of Dagestanis. Let's go be American wrestling here.
Coach? About coaching?
Sure.
Right now I'm at a place with coaching because like I'm still fighting. Like I'm not ready to be done. Right. But I feel like coaching makes me a better fighter because it makes you actually like think about your sport, you know, so definitely coaching because I coach assistant coach with Ben in the Muay Thai Fundamentals program here primarily. Like I'll fill in coaching some other things here and there, but primarily I'm coaching fundamentals, Muay Thai, and I love it. Like that is my favorite stuff to coach because, you know, getting people at like that ground level and helping them like make little improvements and like the moment when you just see something like click for somebody, like that's very gratifying to me. And I definitely see myself coaching like after I'm done fighting for sure.
But exclusively after you're done? You do it now, right?
I do it now, but I will continue.
Is it tough to trade hats, I guess, is part of my...
No. No. I don't think so.
Because it benefits you on right. The fight set.
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the same... Part of the same... like it's different hats, but it's all the same universe.
And I'm drinking Sprite and eating Subway while I'm getting these guys ready, you know? I'm not doing that while I'm getting me ready. Right, it's a more fun hat to wear, I'm not going to lie.
The longer you coach, though, the harder it is to take that coach's hat off.
I bet.
So, like, when these guys... I mean, I might have a different answer if I were to ever compete and fight again, but, like, when I...
When is that, by the way?
TBD. But, like, when I train... Like, because I'll jump in on, like, a Saturday sparring and I'll roll with some people. But I'm always rolling, not always, but most of the times I'm rolling with a coach's hat on. Like, in grappling, like, I flare my elbow. Do they recognize that a Kimura is there? No, mm-hmm. They don't, so I close it. I purposely stick my short neck out as long as I can. Do they realize that a guillotine opportunity might be there? No, they don't, so I close it back in. Or like with striking, maybe I turn my feet a little bit. Do they recognize that the low kick is there? No, they don't. So I square myself back up. It's all these subtle little openings and opportunities for my athletes to see, like, are they recognizing? And I usually, because we got curriculum, but I usually try to do it with the curriculum of like what we're focusing on. So we did a lot of punching and moving. So somebody hits me, I'm going to start slowly backing up. Well, can they punch and move? If I start to stuff them, can they back up and punch and move? So I'm always like scenario playing. So maybe I shouldn't have said that, but so they're all going to know now.
They know what's happening. Out, yeah. If they don't know what's happening,
they will now. They're about
really good fighters, though, because they're going to start recognizing fights better.
And that's where some scenarios, some role play, like if I'm trying to get CJ to really work on somebody, I can tell somebody to like, all right, I really want you to try to get him to recognize that a low kick is there, but it's almost too big, or it's at the wrong time, or it's at the wrong distance, or they just sit there and wait till he low kicks. Whereas I can dictate and control and flow when he sees it, like it's going to happen in a fight as best I can. So
there's a reason we call him the mad scientist.
I would posit that your next fight will be your best fight because of all of that.
I think that you should change things up the next Saturday, and instead of doing like the coaching sparring, just go out there and obliterate.
My last thing I got ready for in was nationals.
When?
And a
couple of
2002 or 2022.
So two solid years of coach rolling, paying attention to all those details and all that space.
No, so I had a gap of 5.5 years, almost 6. Okay. And so I was like, oh, nationals, Waco kickboxing. But I took that coach's role and I just flipped it off. And I had somebody walk in the gym and they're like, what are you getting ready for? And I'm like, what do you mean? And I hadn't told anybody I was doing anything. And they're like, you got a swag. You got a, like, what are you doing? Don't lie to me. You're getting ready for something. And I'm like... okay. And I told him, and that was like 5.5, 6 weeks out. Like I had just started my camp. It was the very first Saturday in my own head. I was like, all right, time to go. But yeah, it was funny how like quickly he recognized mm-hmm. it. I haven't been told that since, so.
He's been coaching.
Exactly.
Oh, we'll know though.
Now all of my athletes are going to get a whole bunch of insight to what I'm actually doing while I'm training. But
everybody will level up though.
True.
Including you.
True.
If they start seeing those invites because they listen to this and now they're looking for it, okay, we'll play a different game.
I don't mean to keep poking him into giving us a timeline or anything like that, but I think that as a team, the team that we have, especially we're getting pretty tight-knit as a team now. And we've always had a pretty close team, but like now it's getting people, like I'd take a bullet for almost anybody in here, you know, like in this room, I'd take a bullet for everybody. But, you know, I think that everybody feels that way about Ben and how much time he's put in for the rest of us, just on and off the mats, in and out of the weight room, everything that we need. He's had our backs. So I just think everybody would step up, not only just to try to beat the shit out of him when he's tired, that's a benefit. But also to help him in whatever he needed and stuff, whether that's covering classes, whether that's extra pad rounds, shit like that. So
it's true.
The turn.
Cool.
There's a camera there for that one.
Pan.
Do you take my point though? Like if your body and your mind still have it, and now you have the coach's insight, it would be your best fight ever.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Whether you win or lose, whether you're completely outclassed, you would still perform better than
ever. Yeah. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Sales trophy yet?
Oh, like, you got a trophy already. Anyway, to the fighters. Back to these two.
Is there anything good about cutting weight? Like for a competition, cutting weight, like the real weight cut?
Like, what do you mean?
Good.
Positive? Anything? Any quirky side effect? I mean, that's
bigger than that guy, hopefully.
Are you talking about the process?
That's the outcome. Yes, you want that. You want to come in bigger.
But I guess, so for me, it's a little different because I've always been, most of my wrestling career, I was a heavyweight. I was an obese kid for a long time until high school.
What's heavyweight in wrestling?
285. I didn't weigh 285. I was 265.
That's the top?
I was 265 in the seventh grade when I was into wrestling, like fully in on the mats.
I was one of those too.
I was a big boy, mm-hmm. and I wasn't much shorter than I am now. I haven't grown much. Most of my career I was, a big old heavyweight, and then I got lean and started losing weight and wrestling 189, 197 in college and stuff. So like during the weight cut, it was kind of cool to see the 8-pack, the 6-pack, whatever. But man, I feel so much happier when I have my healthy 4-pack and a little bit of love handle. Mm-hmm. Cause I know now when I have a 6-pack, that's why I feel like shit. So now I associate when I'm the most shredded of my life, where most people are like, man, I wish I looked like that. I'm like, no, you don't, dude. I fucking hate my life here. But I like having a little chub on me. I feel like I'm more powerful and athletic when I'm a little bit chubby. So, yeah. But I'm different than a lot of people, though, because I got used to moving like a big guy first in combat sports. And I think that's why I'm pretty excited about going back up, because I feel like stylistically, I still move like a big guy, even though I'm at 170. When I was at 170, I moved kind of fast. It's hard to learn to move like a medium-sized guy when you've been a big guy most of your life, mm-hmm. I like overhands. I like jab, kick, overhand.
Sounds big.
Yeah, big boy. Mm-hmm. But I don't really, other than, I guess that's how weight cuts affect me mentally. I'm like, wow, I'm shredded. That's why I don't feel good.
Let's do a photo shoot and move the fuck on with our
Give
life.
Me a fucking candy bar. Yeah, what about you?
I think for me, I don't know if I'd call it like a good thing, but one thing I've noticed about like when I've had like some weight to cut, which sometimes has been more weight than I had wanted or planned on, but it'd be like that sometimes. I think like the last couple of pounds feels the worst. It feels the worst, but like a lot of it is just finding like the mental fortitude to just sit there and do nothing and just let your body sweat and feel awful and feel like you're dying, kind of like the point where it just clicks into like that mental space. It's kind of cool because that's where I get to. I don't know if anyone else does. Like
that last,
you went somewhere else.
That last 2.2 pounds, I recalled every bad deed I've ever done in my life. I was apologizing to my mother for lying to her in the fourth grade. And I went somewhere. I made it. But yeah, no, that last 2.2 pounds, I was having a bad trip.
So it's either Nirvana or purgatory.
I wouldn't say Nirvana. It's something else. Like okay. there's nothing that feels good about it. But like, when you get so uncomfortable that you find peace in the discomfort, because you have no choice. You have no choice.
Like, isn't she like insanely mentally healthy?
Well, but okay. Yes, that. But what is the definition of nirvana? Isn't that like the definition of nirvana?
I think you did.
No, nirvana is like a good thing. It's like where you, it's like the heaven or like the enlightenment or whatever. I don't feel enlightened.
Okay.
There's nothing enlightening.
So that number says the number that you want, and then you're the most happiest person you've ever been.
Until we're an hour early for weigh-ins.
Because you go through the dark tunnel, the being alone. Because you can have teammates help you. Like, obviously, this is a little bit different. We got guys cutting together on the same card. But, like, you're alone when you're cutting weight. You have people there. Rule number one, never cut alone. But alone because the person helping you is, yes, sweating. And they're in the sauna and doing this and doing that. But they haven't put the 6 weeks in. They're not at the water load. And they're not the ones who have to step on the scale at the end of the day. So, like, it's a dark tunnel of alone. And then you step on the scale and you're like, yep, got my number. And then all of a sudden, zoom. You're out of that dark tunnel and you see nothing but light. And then you get the weigh-ins and then that tunnel kind of closes again because you're sitting around waiting for it, whether it's on time, whether it's late, whether the order's messed up or whatever. And then you officially step on the scale and then you come flying out of that dark tunnel again.
Plus the people, your friends helping you stop that Jimmy John's
exactly.
on the way.
Or they drink a soda on the way to weigh-ins. Yeah.
They're sitting there in the bathroom with you while you're dying in the tub and they're like opening
that water
orange soda.
It's like, oh.
Is that the worst part of all the prep and the fight itself? Is the cut the worst part?
I think
other than
no,
losing.
Actually. No.
Got it.
No,
no, it's not actually.
Oh God. I think leading up to the fight is really, really hard.
Mental.
I think the worst part is being in the present moment.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of a camp, 6 weeks out when you start, you're like, man, this sucks. I got 5 more weeks of this. I'm just started. I'm sore. I'm tired. I'm this. Because you amped up your training. So that seems like the worst part. 2 weeks out, oh, I'm peaking and I'm really sore and I'm tired because I'm peaking and people are putting it on me and the shark tanks are getting harder and this, that, and the other thing and it's getting closer. So that part sucks. The weight cut sucks because I'm cutting weight and I've got to do this. And at the end of all this crap, I got to try to reload and hydrate and then actually go fight another trained human being. And then you weigh in and you eat and then all of a sudden the nerves of fighting and then the sleep sucks because you're nervous and then you wake up and the shakeout happens. You're like, my arms don't work. So this part sucks. I don't really want to do this. You get to the venue, the emotions hit. So it's a roller coaster of suckiness. And then when the fight is done, it's like, oh, it's over. It's done.
Well, and if you lose, that way, I mean,
yeah, well, and then if you lose,
the easiest part,
the
honestly,
is
it is because
part.
When you actually step in, and again, sitting in the cage waiting for the opponent, ref, are you ready, referee or fighter? Are you? That's the worst part. Like, there's something with the first contact, whether you touch gloves or whether you decide not to touch gloves and you get hit in the face, it's like everything goes away and it's all reactionary. And what we've programmed in my body in this camp, and you just free flow and go.
Yep.
If you start thinking too much, things aren't going to really go too well. You just got to see, react, and fight. And I think that part of fighting people become free, in quotes, if you will, because you just ebb and flow and slip and slide and punch and kick, without worrying really about the outcome. So you're in the present moment, free flowing without a worry in the world until maybe you get caught, you wake up and you're like, damn, I got knocked out. Or your hand goes up and you're like, damn, it's over.
Also,
my two cents.
Side note, I don't think a single time when the referee has said fighter ready and then looks at me and says fighter ready, I don't think once I've said yes. I've nodded my head and out loud almost every fight. I know for a fact I've said oh shit to the ref. Like as I'm nodding, I'm like, oh shit. And that's my answer, I guess. So that's kind of the feeling leading up to it. But yeah, the second we touched gloves, or in my debut was probably my favorite one. I didn't throw the first punch. I don't know why. I was just kind of out there like, oh my God, this is what it's like. And then he hit me with a jab. And I said to him out there, I went, cool. And then I just cracked him. Like, I just went, okay. Like that's fighting. Okay, that wasn't so bad. You know, the rest of that fight, though, tearing my hamstring wasn't so fun. But, you know.
You got to break the seal, though. That kills the nerves in your...
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Like... exactly what he said. Like for me, the worst part is not the weight cut. Like, yeah, weight cuts suck, whatever. But like the worst part is like waiting to walk out for the fight, or like at TBA, like how they've got like, they'll have like four rings going at one time. And then if you're like on deck or in the hole, you're just like standing there right next to the ring, like watching other people fight and watching people lose and watching people win. Like for me, like that's the worst. Like I will start having my vision like just close in on me and I'll start feeling like I'm going to pass out or like I'm going to poop my pants, you know, yeah. Stuff like that. That is the worst part. Like it where like you start getting like worried that, you know, walking up the steps to the ring that you're going to like fall and
trip,
like stuff like that. And like every single time I fought, like that waiting part, I could be like, you know, I could just fall and break my leg right now and then I don't have to wait anymore. You know what I mean? Like I'll have those thoughts every single fight. And then, but yeah, with like the actual fighting, like once you touch gloves and start hitting each other and whatever, it's fine. It's great. Like that's the best part. Like I do feel like the actual fighting part, I don't want to say the easiest part, but like mentally it's the easiest part because through camp and through prep and daily life and training, you've got like just all that chatter going on. Like me especially, like I'm just an overthinker. I think constantly you're thinking about like, you know, oh, you know, I really sucked in training today, and you're thinking about all the shit you have to do at home and like, you know, all the other stuff, like am I good at my job, do my friends hate me, you know, like all that other like bullshit, like, or even leading up to the fight.
Like you said, all the noise.
All the noise. And like when you're in there, as soon as you touch gloves and start going, it's like there's no room for the noise. Like it just all like quiets down. Like all of that just like leaves. And it's like you don't have time to think about like, you know, if you like are even like you don't even have time to think about like, am I a good fighter?
Am I good enough to be in here?
Am I good enough? You can't even think about that stuff.
You're already in.
You know, it's like all those thoughts, all those doubt, like the doubt thoughts, like, can I do this? Am I good enough to do this? Like, do I belong here? Or like, you know, do I look stupid in here? Like being self-conscious about your body, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. You just can't, like all of that stuff just leaves. And it is very freeing.
Did I poop my pants?
I don't think I've ever thought did I? That.
It's my irrational fear.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's irrational.
Full disclosure, yeah, I take about six shits after getting backstage. Mm-hmm. They're like forced by the end. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to be the next guy on YouTube that gets choked unconscious and shits himself.
Fast track to going viral.
And I get nervous farts. You should ask Pam about this, is my nervous farts, because she enjoys talking about that part. It was like, oh my God, have you ever been backstage with CJ? Because yeah, he'll look you in the eyes and be like, fuck, I'm nervous. And it's like... So,
that I'm time not, you farted on a commissioner?
Yeah. That was LFA. What's his name again? He's always such a smartass. The guy that looks at us and goes hugs and kisses before like he greases up your forehead. The bald ref with the goatee.
Oh, not Chris.
Travis, yeah. Mater. He always says that smart-ass thing before a fight. Yeah, so this is really funny, actually, backstage story. I was about to walk out. That was against Jason Alvarez for LFA. And he said that smart-ass thing. He says every fight, he's like, hugs and kisses. And I was like, dee! And then hugged Ben and hugged Chris. And then he greased up my forehead. And then they were like taking a minute to kind of announce my name, you know, dragging out that from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I leaned on Travis and just ripped the longest, loudest, like I'm just, like a solid 8 second fart as they're saying the Silverback CJ Hayes, and I walk out and I just hear in the back, "What the fuck?" Sorry, Travis, about that. It was pretty.
I was
funny.
Already in the corner with Chris.
Yeah, it was so.
That was
funny.
Clear.
Yeah, that was pretty
clear
funny.
Of debris.
Yeah.
Just crop dusted the entire walk.
All VIP got crop dusted by me that whole walk out. But yeah, that's me before farts. Before fights, I'm a nervous farting wreck.
Not me. I'm normal.
The things you learn.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to end it, actually.
Yeah, just with farts. So, yeah.
Cool. Any closing thoughts?
I mean, we talked about a lot of different stuff mm-hmm. today. I like fighting. I like punching and kicking.
Kick real good.
Punch gooder than the other guy.
Gooder for sure.
Gooder.
You were talking about that earlier, and then we'll close this out. But mm-hmm. you were saying, you know, you're intellectual and you think things through or whatever. But when it comes down to tell people what you like about it, it's like, I don't know, I like punching people.
Yeah.
We got interviewed, me and my strongman training crew, 15, 20 years ago now, and like the smartest, most intellectual dude in the crew, the only clip they used from him was him going, I just like lifting heavy things. And it was
I
like,
pick it up and put it down.
Like, exactly. You know, like, this is not a smart, that's probably the reason why we like it. It's not all about being smart and thinking through shit. I just want to do a little aggression.
Yeah.
So I dig
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I mean, like, fighting is one of the oldest, like forms of human expression. Like it is a deeply pure form of human expression, and every culture in the world since humans were humans have come up with some kind of fighting, like sport fighting, whether it's like, you know, like wrestling, like lots of cultures have done like wrestling or some kind of like weapons combat, like for fun, like it's for practice. Like it is for practice, like practice for war or for, you know, fitness or strength or defending yourself, but they do it for fun too. Like humans like fighting each other, yeah. You know?
And that's why, you know, we talked about the losses and how they feel and how the wins feel and stuff like that. But just in kind of the bigger picture of everything, what we're doing is very important to us, but in the big picture of life in general, it's a fun sport. You know, and that's why, you know, win or lose, I always do like to tell, especially people who are first fighting, we're still going to love you. Nothing changes the next day. You know, my wife still is going to love me. When I get home, my dog's still going to wag his tail and my cats are going to yell for fucking food. You know, and like, you know, I'm in a good gym and I'm in a good place right now. So even if I lose, I know my coaches are going to love me still. And I'm still going to, like, I'm not going to have, nobody's going to turn their back on me that matters to me, you know, and anybody that does can just fuck right off. And that's how I feel about it. And that's why I think everybody should keep that with them is this is not life or death. This is a sport. And yes, we all need to do the best we can and try to better ourselves. We're all on a different mission, but it is a sport and life does continue to go on. So I think that's important to kind of note as well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
Make a final noise, Ben. Say thanks.
Just burn. Thanks.
Okay.
Done.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Pohata Podcast. And hey, if you're a regular listener, head on over to the Pohata Podcast on Instagram, where amongst the ridiculous memes, you'll find a link to the merch shop and be able to keep up with the disorganized going-ons of the show.